Hello, my friend, and welcome back. Welcome to A Place for Joy. Thank you. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for choosing to click the button. Thank you. If you're new, welcome. This is a community of family and friends. I call you my distant DNA relatives. Some of you are a little bit closer than that, but we come to be inspired, to be encouraged, and to be informed. My podcast, because it is a video podcast, is based on the Bible, which is the Word of God. I'm about to get started. I need to tell you in advance that I have a pretty in-depth introduction to just kind of tell you what to expect quickly, but then this is going to be a long one. Give me a break. I've been gone for 2 months. I really have something very, very, very important to share with you. I'm going to get out as much of it as I can, and if we need to go to a second one, I will. But I'm asking you to please take the time and listen prayerfully, as you always do, critically, because that's why you have this, and ask the Lord. I really believe that this word is relevant. So I'm about to give you a devotional that is longer than 5 minutes, which is what I did in December. This is going to be a real sit-down chat. Before I begin, let me tell you that you can expect more inspirational, heartwarming, encouraging YouTube shorts from me at least once a week. And some of them will be
a do you know video.
I think that's important. I'm also moving into
an area where I feel inspired to explore with you.
Having more of a channel that deals with apologetics, because I think it is very important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. The Lord God is truth, so He's not afraid to be questioned by us when we really sincerely want to seek for Him and know the truth. We need to know how to answer the challenges coming and how to confirm and encourage and teach in love, in wisdom, and with authority our faith to our children and our grandchildren and those connected to us, because they are being bombarded like us with so much. So stick with me on this journey. I'll be telling you a little bit more about that. I also very much would like a dream of mine for my platform to be that of a discussion with other ladies. Gentlemen are welcome to, where we're actually having a discussion. It might be over Zoom or it might be in person. We will be discussing topics that will be related to the Bible, relevant to your life, inspirational and informative. So we're here for a minute. If you need to go and get your favorite drink, water or something, go get it, because I have something to share. Please listen, even if you have to listen in, you know, chunks, be sure you listen till the end. And if I need to cut it off because I see it's gotten too long, I will. But it will continue until I complete what I believe is a necessary lesson. Yes. So to do that, I need to read. And that's part of what's going to take up a little bit of your time. But it's okay. I believe this will help and bless you. So I'm going to Numbers. We're talking about Balaam and Balak. And to do that, we need to get some background information. And let's read. And you check this out for yourself. Always check things out for yourself. Starting from Numbers 22, verse 1. Then the people of Israel set out and camped in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan at Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was in great dread of the people, because they were many. And these are the children of Israel They're traveling through. They haven't reached the promised land. They've left Egypt and they're going through. So the people of Moab, city of Moab, was in great dread because they were many. Moab was overcome with fear of the people of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This horde will now lick up all that is around us as the ox licks up the grass of the field." So Balak, the son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at that time, sent messengers to Balaam. Very important, because this is our star or our main character in this story. One of the main ones, Balaam, the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the people of Ammor. I'm really trying to do it phonetically. I'm not saying it's correct. To call him, saying, "Behold, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth, and they are dwelling opposite me. Come now, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and deliver them from the land," and "drive them from the land." And I am reading from the English Standard Version, ESV. "For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam and gave him Balak's message. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. And I'm stopping there. And I'm
hoping. Chapter 22.
My iPad decided to speak to you all too, because it's so happy that everybody's back. Welcome. All right. So that was part of chapter 22. So you get the picture, background information. The children of Israel are traveling through and they've gotten to this particular location. And the king of Moab, whose name is Balak, he sees how many they are. And he's afraid because of the sheer numbers of the people. And he has gone to someone. The Bible doesn't call him a prophet of the Lord, but he's paid money. The envoy or the group of men that he has sent to go to this particular man, he has sent fees for divination. Let's get some of these words. For this man to talk to God. In their culture, was this common? Yes. And he wants this man to access God, to talk to him, to curse the people of Israel. So you should already be saying, there's a problem here. That's what we should be saying. And there was a problem there. So let's find out what happens. So Balaam, who is not called a prophet, but that's his position to do divination. He told them to rest so that he could find out and speak to God. The thing about these things when we're reading, which is very interesting, is because it's been translated, not because it's not accurate, because the accuracy of the Bible is stunning. It's amazing how accurate. And I'm talking about from Dead Sea Scrolls, and there's a lot of them, to manuscripts that they have compared. The accuracy is like 99%. You can check that out. So, but when we're translating from another
language,
the different meanings for words. So even the terms that refer to God, there are many. And the thing is, when it refers to, and this will be made clearer in the story, when it refers to God, we know the name Yahweh. Most of us do, let me not assume. And we know the name Elohim. I don't know how many of us know that Elohim means the Most High God, but Elohim can also mean multiple gods with a small g, which is translated like that in the original text. We don't necessarily see that in our English when we're reading in our English Bible. It is very important that I said that because of what's going to happen later on. Okay, so I did that for a reason. So Balaam, who is this man who they've bought money to for this divination, remember now, they bought him money to pay to get this answer or to get a message. And really what the king wanted, he didn't want a message from God. He wanted Balaam to use whatever powers he possessed, important, to curse the people of Israel who were chosen by God to be his people and who he had a covenant with. Let's see what happens. Verse 6, come now, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them away from the land. So he believed that if they were cursed by Balaam with the approval of God, then they would be able to fight and defeat them to get them from the land. And notice, if when I first read, it said they were opposite them, but he was fearful that they were going to come over to his side. And by sheer numbers, he felt intimidated that they would take over. All of this is so important and so human nature. And so human nature, they were not even in his land, but the threat, because of their numbers, were threatening him because he was projecting what he thought they would do, because that's probably what he would have done. Interesting point. But we come here, and so they've given him the money. Balaam tells them to rest, and let's see what happens next. So the prince of Moab stayed with Balaam. I read that. And God came to Balaam. God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? Interesting. So we don't know what Balaam prayed, what he said, but it says God came to Balaam and said, and as we're reading this, because I've checked in advance, this particular God is translated Yahweh. Very important. So this is the God that appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And the Israelites, because of the holiness of his name, there were no vowels, but that's been translated for us to pronounce the name. So we have Yahweh. He appeared to Balaam and he said, who are these men with you? We already know God knows exactly who they are, but that's the question he asked Balaam. And Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me saying, behold, a people has come out of Egypt and it covers the face of the earth. He said, now come curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to fight against them and drive them out. So he repeated word for word what Balak has sent to tell him. God, Yahweh, said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. Period. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, and these are princes, so they have different authorities that they're representing, and I said that on purpose because what's to come. So these are, we can call them senators and representatives, we can call them governors, but they are in charge. They're royal, okay? And I'm just seeing representing their people. And I'm not seeing that facetiously or throwing aim or shame at any other title that we're familiar with. I'm just trying to make a connection. Go to your own land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. That is so interesting, because basically, if we look back, we know that the Lord told him not to go with them. So that's what he said. And he tells them that, and he refuses to go with them. what he seems to not have told them is what the rest of the message, where the Lord said, you are not to curse them because they are blessed. Well, we all know what happens next because we can project or we can make an assumption. What do you think happened? When does the enemy ever leave anyone alone? Especially when there is a purpose for you, and there is, and you've been called by God. When is it ever that you don't face some kind of challenge or opposition? When? So once again, Balak sent princes more in number and more honorable than these, the ones he has sent. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus said Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing hinder you from coming to me." Interesting. So he's telling him, even though he sent and told him, "I cannot come because the Lord has refused. God says, I am not to come to you." He said, let nothing stop you. You know, after all, I'm the king. And I've sent money. I'm sending more important people, more people to pressure you. For I will surely do you great honor. And whatever you say to me, I will do. Come, curse this people for me. But Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God to do less or more. So you too, please stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. The message that the Lord has shared with me for me, because I share with you what is where I am, and this is where I've been parked for a while, and it is so critical. It is so critical. I want to invite you to please come back. I really, really believe that I have something important and necessary, timely and relevant to share with you. I really believe that. I am stopping. There's so many lessons from this story, and I've read it before, but all of a sudden I saw it. I want to give a special shout out to a very special subscriber, and she knows who she is. I'll even help a little bit more. Her name starts with a P. Thank you, because she brought this up as a question. And even though I had read it before, shortly after, in reading through with my Bible app, reading through the Bible, I came up 2 days later to this story, and it was in line with a message for me, again, my personal devotion that the Lord had been working or just having fellowship with me on, because he longs to do that with all of us. And when she said that, I was like, this is how I can share this with my friends and DNA cousins. This is how I can share with my group, with my family. And I got to studying and meditating, and there's so many layers, and I think you heard some of them. I am curious, what are some of the things you've picked up so far? What are some of the things that you think you can carry away during the week? What are some aha moments that you heard? Please share it in the comments. I'll be back next week, Saturday evening, to upload and to continue with this. I hope you're doing really, really well. I've gone longer than what I normally do. I told you I would. And so we will continue this. And thank you for coming back. Blessings. This is not done. This is just me reading. We have not even jumped in with both feet. We kind of just dipping in, okay? So dip in with me. And to all new subscribers, to all my old subscribers, thank you. God bless you. And you come back for us to, let's talk about it. God's love, blessings, and peace. see you soon. Thank you.